Amen. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight in the house of God. It's good to see every one of you here tonight. We are grateful for the opportunity to minister the Word of God. We are thinking of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen getting rest right now and coming back refired and ready. And got to, you know, we believe the Lord will minister to them where they are. Amen. How many of you believe in and praying for your pastors? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? Sunday night, you know, the earthquake, 5.0, and then yesterday, what a tumultuous, historic, world-shaking event. And financial markets are volatile right now, and people don't know what to think. A lot of shaking going on. Isn't that right? What somebody said one time, I don't know if it's a song or what it is, but I remember the guy that tried out for a truck driver job, and he said, and they wanted to hire him, and he said, well, you have to hire my buddy Leroy with me. And they said, what for? He said, we're not sure about that. But he said, yeah, he said, I'm going to have my buddy Leroy with me. And they said, well, we'll talk about that later, but we want to give you a scenario. We want to know how you'd handle a rig going down the road. And here's a scenario. He said, you're coming down off of a mountain. You got a cliff on one side, and you got a drop off on the other side. And you got cars coming from the front, and your brakes go out, and you can't get it out in gear. It's out of gear, and you've got no way to stop, and you got curves coming up. So we want to know what you're going to do. He's a little quiet, and he said, well, I'm going to wake up Leroy. They said, what are you going to wake up Leroy for? He said, well, he's never seen a wreck like that before. I'm sure there was some shaking going on, and that's... I wonder if he got the job. Anyway. But we have a lot of shaking going on. I noticed on Facebook today that there are a whole lot of people that are... a lot of posts, at least from my friends, ministered a lot of minister friends, encouraging people that now's the time to start really praying. We've prayed so far. And I want to say this, too. That, you know, whether if you're for what happened, let's be careful not to think that we are something in doing that. God is merciful. God is merciful. God is a merciful God. He helps his people. And let me tell you this, I might have the prayer right. I might have prayed, I might have done this, and I might have done that, but in the end, we need to brag on God. Isn't that right? We need to be humble before God and understand where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Isn't that right? And so, but you know, one of the things that I had to settle in my heart was on yesterday. I had to come to the place where no matter the outcome, I'm still going to be the same Christian. I'm still going to love God. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to love people. I'm still going to care for people. I'm still going to be the person that speaks the word, believes the word. I'm not going to change anything. Matter of fact, I might change it to more on increase. I might move it over to more and more. And I had to settle that within my heart. I had to find out whether my trust is in God. Now, come on. Is my trust in God or am I moved by things? So whether it came out like you want, now listen to this, and whether it came out like you wanted it or not, let us put our trust in God. Amen? My joy and my happiness is still in God. Isn't that right? And so I encourage you, if your candidate didn't win or didn't get in, then put your trust in God. If your candidate won, then I'm going to encourage you, put your trust in God. Amen? And I want to I want to just encourage you with that. If you'll find your place in James chapter 4, I want to visit with you just a few minutes on a couple of scriptures here tonight. James chapter 4, verse 8. And I'm going to just use a phrase out of that verse. And it says, the first part of that verse says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Can you say it with me? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The New Living Translation says it this way, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. And Adam Clark said this, that we would, in other words, approach him in the name of Jesus by faith and prayer, and he will draw nigh to you. He will meet you at your coming. I like that. He will meet you at your coming. When a soul sets out to seek God, God sets out to meet that soul, so that while we are drawing near to him, he's drawing near to us. And I want to just explore that just a little bit tonight. And I want to look at the first part of that phrase, and then we'll look at the second part. I want to look just tonight for a little bit on just what does it mean to draw near to God? What does it mean to draw near to God? We know that Moses drew near to God on the mountaintop. And as a result, the psalmist said this, that God showed his acts to Israel and his ways to Moses. You know, how many of you know that's one thing to see what God does, it's another thing to understand why he did it. And so Moses, by drawing close to God, got to know his ways. And the rest of the Israelites who did not draw close to God, they got to see what he did, but they didn't have much understanding. Hezekiah drew close to God, turned his face to the wall, when the prophet came in and said, you're going to die. And I just don't know what would you think if you were, you knew something was wrong with you, and a minister came in and said, you're going to die. The Lord said, you're going to die. I think I'm going to change churches. Find me. And the prophet turned around and left. And Hezekiah, what did he do? He didn't get mad at the prophet. He didn't get upset. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't go into depression. What did he do? The Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. What did he do? He drew near to God. He drew so close to God that all he could see was God. You understand? What did he do? The prophet came back with a different story. He said, God said, you're going to have another 15 years. Isn't that something? See how, and I see people down through history that drew near to God, seem to have a connection with God that other people just kind of long for. And a lot of it has to do with drawing near to God. And it seems like these people that draw near to God, they get this idea that God will hear them and then God will answer. They're confident of that. And so when I see this verse, I just have this desire in my heart. God, I want to draw closer to you. And so sometimes we have ideas like that. I want to draw closer. There isn't a person in this room or a person watching online that doesn't have a desire to draw closer to God. But what does it mean to draw close to God? How can we who are already in Christ draw near to God? That's a question, isn't it? How can I'm in Christ? I mean, you know, when I'm in, I'm in. I mean, when I'm there. And you know, when you become a Christian, you know, the Bible says that we become connected to the head, who's Jesus Christ. We're part of the body and he's the head and we're connected. And And we're with him and he's with us. And so how can you get any closer than that? But I do know that it is possible for you and I to draw, who are already in Christ, to draw near to God in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our words, in our prayers, in our devotion, in our love. So many times things get in the way. And life has a way of pulling on us and wanting to pull us this way and pull us that way. And pretty soon our attention's over here and our attention's not on God like it needs to be. And so it is possible to be in Christ and yet be far from him. The Israelites were God's people, their chosen people, and yet Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, he said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Sometimes you meet people who know the right things to say, but the heart is somewhere else. Ever met somebody that said they loved you out of their mouth, but you knew where their heart was? Anybody ever been there? But that wonderful act of redemption that Jesus did at Calvary's cross shed his blood for you and for me. And by that blood, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so we've been brought near to God through that wonderful redemptive act of Christ hanging on the cross. And he did that so I can come near to God, be near to God. And so we may, as I say it this way, sometimes positionally be near to God in our spiritual place in Christ, but are we day to day close to God? Do we act like people who know their God? Daniel said, those people who know their God, those people that are close to God, that know his ways, that when they call upon him, they know he'll answer. Those are the people that will do exploits for God. And I want to tell you tonight, the challenge to me in the hour I'm living in is not so much my position in Christ is secure, but I want to tell you my day-to-day walk. I'm going to tell you, my challenge is to walk as close to God as I can in my thoughts and in my words and everything that I do, that it be a reflection of the one I'm close to. And I want to encourage you tonight that we live in an hour when it's important to live close to God. It's always important. But as you see the days approaching and the perilous times of the last days and the tumultuous conditions in the world, it's important that we live close to God. When everything seems shaking, you're still connected to the unshakable one. Paul said it this way, "None of these things move me." But he also said, "In him we live and move and have our being." So you just got to decide who you're going to let shake your life. Isn't that right? And so we need to recognize, see, when you come to God, do you come to Him willing to give Him what it is you have? Will you give Him your heart? Will you give Him your mind? Will you give Him your emotions that are so powerful that they move you? We're able to be happy and sad and glad and joyful and all kinds, express ourselves in many ways. Are we able to, are we even willing to let God be Lord over our emotions, over our will? Not my will, but your will be done. And so we need to recognize, what does it mean then for me to live close to God, to be near to God? God asks us to bring Him what we have. Come near. Bring me what you have. Because you see, the rest of the story is this. Because God wants to bring you what He has. Amen. I want you to know that. God's not taking something from you. He's trying to get something to you. So God asks you to bring Him what you have. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, say it with me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Isn't that something? What's it say? What's the first part? If you abide in me, that would indicate that you could decide not to abide in Him. I find some Christians, their greatest problem is they're abiding somewhere that they're not called to be. Too far away from God. You see? And then the prayers don't get answered like they need to be. The understanding of what God wants to do in their life is not where it needs to be. And then we just don't understand what's going on. And then the shaking comes. And we reach out to hang on to the unshakable one, but we're out of. You understand what I mean? My thoughts are too far, have been too far from Him, and so my thoughts don't willingly go there because I'm not in the habit of being there in my thoughts. Do you understand how important it is on a daily basis when everything's going well, and we are triumphant, we're successful, we're prosperous, we're healthy, whole, delivered, and free, protected, safe. Those are times when you draw close to God. You don't neglect Him. Why? Because you want to be there. You don't know what all tomorrow will hold. And even if your world's not shaken, tomorrow, your path may cross with somebody whose world is shaken and they're almost upside down and they're looking for somebody that's close to God. And they come to you, and my friend, listen to me. Are you close enough to God that you can connect them with the one who doesn't change, the one that is unshakable, the one who can take care of them? Or are you going to shrug your shoulders and come up with some kind of religious dribble that literally doesn't help anybody and blames God for everything? Friend, I'm going to tell you, tonight I'm challenging us all, including myself. I'm challenging myself. Marvin, you better get close to God. Stay close to God. You don't know what's coming in the days ahead. And you want to be connected when something happens. So bring your thoughts, your imaginations, and your attitudes to God. Give them to Him. Bring your sin. Bring your weaknesses, your infirmities to God. Bring your questions, your concerns, your burdens, your worries, your cares to God. Bring your requests, your petitions, your intercessions to God. Bring it so that you can experience the last part of the phrase, and He will draw near to you. He will meet you at your coming. That's amazing. I love that verse. I love that sound of those words. He's meeting me at my coming. In other words, He's so excited that somebody's drawing near to Him that He's just, let me tell you something. It's like Stephen being stoned, and he stands there and in faith and in forgiveness, and he's close to God. He's connected with God, and God is so excited about him. He stands up, gets up, and Jesus stands up to receive him. He's not sitting there waiting for him to arrive. He said, glory to God. Here's somebody close to me. I'm going to meet him at his coming. He will draw near to me. Say it with me. He will draw near to me. Zechariah 1:3. Turn ye to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. God will meet you at your coming. Now I want you to get this profound truth that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell it to you like it was told to me. When God meets you at your coming, you draw near to Him and He meets you. He comes. He comes. He wants to be with you. Tell your neighbor, He wants to be with you. Now here's you got to get this. He never shows up empty-handed. He always comes with everything He's got. He didn't jump in the truck and throw a few tools in, and then He gets there and He says, I got to go back to the shop to get a few more tools. No, He brings everything He's got. Everything He has is in Him. He never shows up. Say it with me. He never shows up empty-handed. He draws near to me, and He comes with what He has. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let me tell you this. The first thing that God will bring you is His Word. Oh, Brother Marvin, but I need money. But the first thing that God will bring you is His Word. Brother Yoder, but I came for healing. The first thing that God will bring you is His Word. And He wants to get the Word off of the pages into your mouth and into your heart. Why? Because when that happens, He knows that you are connected with Him and He's connected with you. And there's a free flow of what He has coming into your life. It's called have faith in God. See, He comes with His Word. He comes with all His promises. He comes with all of His power. He comes with His provision. He comes with His presence, the glory of God. He comes with His plans. God does not show up and then say, let's have a council to see if we can figure out how to get you out of your troubles. He comes with a plan. He always has a plan. He always has provision. You're not ever going to catch God by surprise by the size of your request. It's hard to impress somebody who's got it all. He comes. The idea here that is to draw those who draw near to him, to those who draw near to him, he manifests himself to them. He shows up. Question I have, has God shown up lately in your life? If he hasn't, then take a step in his direction, because he will meet you at your coming. Hallelujah. Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. Bring him what you have and he'll bring what he has. And when you give what you have to him, whatever it might be, bring your problem, concerns, crises, fears, whatever it is, he'll give you something greater than that. He'll give you faith if you'll give him your fears. Hallelujah. Bring your lack and he'll give you his provision. Bring your questions and he'll give you answers. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. My confidence is in God. Why? He's with me and I'm with him. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, see the chapter 9 or 10. He says, with God, all things are possible. So the question that came to me as I read that one day was, are you with him? Weiss translation says, in the presence of God, all things are possible. Am I with him? Because there, all things are possible. Isn't that something? Boy, it just simplifies things. I'm just going to draw near to God with my thoughts and with my attitudes and with my words and with my love and with my devotion and with my commitment and with my faith. And I'm going to find that when I'm with him, all things become possible. Isn't that something? Say it with me. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to me. John 14:21-23 says this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. You draw close to God and you start loving on God. He said, I'm going to love you back. And I'm going to show up in your life. And I will do what no man can do. Amen. And then Judas wrinkled his brow in verse 22. And he says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? In verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What does it mean? It means, okay, he's trying to explain to him, that I will manifest myself to you because you love me. And if you love me, that means you keep my word. And he said, I'm going to make my home there. I like it so well, I want to live there. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I feel so sorry for people that go to church every Sunday with no expectation of God showing up. So it's just a habit. It's just something they do. Been there all my life, don't know anything else. Sing the same songs. Got 17 t-shirts saying I've been there. 32 books of stars, you know, perfect attendance in Sunday school. I'm telling you that God's got more for you than stars in a book and t-shirts in your closet. Draw near to him. Expect to receive from him as you come close to him. Because you see, great benefits are available to those who draw near to him. Say it again with me. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Can you stand with me? Can you lift your hands? And just take a moment to direct your thoughts to God. I'm telling you, just shut out the person beside you. Just don't pay attention to them right now. Shut out the problems of the day. Shut out all the worries of the future. Bring it. Just say, Lord, those are yours now. I've come to see you. I've turned to you. I've turned to you. Here I am. You said that if I draw close to you, that you would draw close to me. Yeah. And here's the deal, folks. If you could only choose to have one thing in your whole life, would it be Jesus? If all you could have is one thing, would you choose God? And it means you don't have anything else. No, listen. Thank God that God provides and that he gives us things. But the commitment, the attention that you give to God, sometimes we got to shut everything else out and give God our undivided attention. And he becomes, until he becomes so important that literally if that's all we have, then we're fully satisfied in him. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Say it with me. Jesus, I love you. Just say it again. Jesus, I love you. Say it again. Jesus, I love you. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us. But oh, we thank you that we can love you. And we thank you that you are moving mightily in our lives. Praise you now. I sense, let's just make a commitment. God is asking us to make a commitment. Will you make a commitment? By the uplifting of your hand, would you make a commitment? God, I'm going to draw closer to you. I'm going to draw closer to you in my thoughts, in my attitudes, in my words, in my devotions, in my love, in my faith, in my giving. In everything that I am, I'm drawing closer to you. Some of you may be in here tonight and you need to bring him the things that have been bothering you, the things that have held you back. Bring them to him now and give it to him. Just give it to him. Here's my sin. Here's my weakness. Here's my infirmities. Here's my cares. Here's my burdens. Here's my problems. Here's my sickness. Here's my lack. Here's all the things that I have problems that I have in my life that's causing me problems. Here it is, Lord. Give it to him right now. Let him have it. It's yours. I give it to you. Now with those same hands in which you gave to him, will you now become a receiver and say, Lord, I receive. I receive your word. Today I receive a hunger for your word. I receive a desire for your word. I receive a desire for your presence and for your power and for your provision, for your plans in my life. I receive all the redemptive benefits that are available to me in Christ. I receive. I thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Now with those same hands uplifted, would you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just thank him for what you believe you've received right now. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated just for a few moments. Tonight, we have a special privilege, and that is to honor our pastors. Honor our pastors. Say it with me. Honor our pastors. I can't begin to tell you, as for me and my family, what they've done for us. And in my mind, we owe them. My dad's living because of it. My nephew's living because of it. My father-in-law passed on into heaven happy because of it. On and on I could go. My sister has three children that the doctor said she could never have. My uncle lived when he should have died. I'm just telling you the message of faith. And so we're willing, glad to give, to honor to Pastor and Mrs. Hagen in their Christmas gift. We want them to have a wonderful Christmas. And so get your gifts ready if you would. And I want you to pray over those gifts as we ushers get ready to serve the people. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We pray that you bless them. And Father, the gifts that we give, Father, we give them out of our heart, out of a desire to honor, out of gratitude, and out of thanksgiving for what Pastor and Mrs. Hagen mean to us. And so let these we let these gifts be an expression of love in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Father. Bless these people now as they give. Bring them forth with a mighty harvest. Thank you for guiding and directing them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you would serve the people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, pastor's going to be here Sunday morning. I'm going to have a wonderful message, and you don't want to miss that. Praise the Lord. It will be wonderful. Okay? And so now, I'm also going to ask the connection team to do something right now. I know the ushers are passing, but connection team, if you know those people that were first-time guests, if you would just kind of slip over there and ask them if you could take them and get that gift that's been prepared for them, this might be the great time to do that right now. And so take them, and those of you that are here for the very first time, let's give them a big hand again. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you're here tonight. And they're going to bring that gift, take you and give you a gift as an expression of thanksgiving. And so we want to honor you in that way and give God praise for you being here tonight. Prayer team, if you'll come, and the men will be on this side and the ladies will be on this side. And so if you have prayer needs, if you have need somebody to agree with you, you have a need that you want to bring to God, then these people will help. Men, just come to these men over here. And ladies, just come to these ladies over here, and they can help you. and you'll be blessed because you'll find somebody that agrees with you and is willing to add their faith to your faith to get what you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody good to go? Amen. Say it with me one more time. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.